Render under Caesar to what God has given to Caesar, and to God what is due to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember what we went over last week, just as a quick review? We're probably going to do this all the time, so you should pay attention. So what did we go over last week? Remember, we were talking about something last week. It's a little bit harder. Last week, remember, we were speaking about the garment. Remember, we were talking about that garment that needs to be put on and that we don't need it. We better not be taking that garment off. How do we get that garment on in the first place? Now, you don't remember, it was baptism. Baptism, remember, we put the white garment on the child. That's the same thing. Our souls are clothed with the white garment, which is Christ himself. How do we take that garment off? What kind of sin? Not just any kind of sin, right? Mortal sin is when we take that garment off and we say, Jesus, I don't want to be identified with you anymore, and toss it in the corner. Life is hard, and there are difficulties that we're faced and sins that come across our path all the time. But how do we know that we are able to be successful against those sins? We give you a scripture passage in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Do you remember what it is? It says, I can do all things in Christ who gives me his own strength. Brothers and sisters, we need to remember that not just last week, this week as well. In the rest of our lives, wear that garment with pride. Because our Lord is following up on that today within the gospel here as well. Now, I was talking with my older brother this week. My older brother and my little brother, they're both businessmen. I don't know anything about business. I don't know how to invest anything. I really don't care to touch money ever. It's just never been my thing. And so the archdiocese is always coming up to me and saying, well, you remember, Father, you got to prepare for retirement. It's going to come and it's going to catch you in the backside. If you don't prepare for it, so you better do it. And so, okay. So I asked my brother, like, okay, what do you suggest that I do? You know how to make investments. You work at a bank. You know all these things. Tell me what to do. And so he just looked at me and he said, well, if I were you, I would invest in taxes. I just looked at him really funny. I said, I don't know how you do that, but you're smarter than me. So how do you invest in taxes? He says, well, because with taxes, you're assured they're always going to go up. I'm going, okay. Okay, you got me there, but you didn't help me out in any sort of way. Thanks for making a joke. Anyway, so that's what my brother talked to me about this week. And isn't that what our Lord is bringing up here today, right? He's talking about taxes. He's talking about taxes not because he wants to, but because these people want to bring it up to him. They're trying to entrap him. They're trying to trip him up in some sort of way. What do they bring in before him? They're trying to draw him into their own squabbles, is what's really going on here. They're saying, identify with this one, or identify with that one. Realize that what was going on in the first century in Israel is that it's not a completely homogenous group of people. It's not just people who love God and are trying to serve him. They got their own ideas. They got their own ambitions. You got the Pharisees on one hand who are saying it's all about purity of their cult, purity of their worship. And then you have the Herodians who are all about, hey, we need to make sure that we're taken care of in this political environment. Rome is our overlord, and we need to please them. And so the two are waging battle against each other, and they both want to kill Jesus because he's causing a lot of trouble for them. So they put this question to him, and they say, hey, look, which side do you put yourself on? You see, I was a political science major. So I know a little bit about these political things that they're doing right here. And I can tell you something about Jesus. Jesus is like a master communications genius here. Because what he's doing here is he knows the first rule of politics. And that is that you never let the other person frame the discussion for you. You never let them control the narrative. You get ahead of the narrative. And you don't go where they want you to go. And so Jesus, being wise, he doesn't let them do that. See, the Herodians, they said, if you pay that tax, what it means is that you're a collaborator with a government just like us. Then the people are going to rebel against you. But the Pharisees say, if you're on our side and you say that you shouldn't be paying that tax, then you're on the side of the people, but the government is going to slam you down and you're done either way. A or B. You get that scenario. Either one or two. Jesus finds a way out of that. What does he do? He says, hey, look, he has this masterful stroke, and he says, first thing what I want you to do, show me the coin that you're talking about. You see, they had to have a special coin to pay the tax. And guess what? They pulled it out of their own pockets. And that's why he says to them, you hypocrites. You're saying you want me to choose, and look, you already have the coin, so you're already playing the game. Don't try to bring me into your stuff. Don't try to pretend like you're above what's going on here. And he says, whose image is on it? And he begins to say this, what? He says, give unto Caesar, or render unto Caesar those things that are Caesar's, but you got to give unto God those things that are God's first. And see, brothers and sisters, Jesus finds the way out because he recognizes that to be a good Christian, we also have to be a good citizen. That we can't pit the two against each other. We can't live our lives as though we're going in one direction in the secular world and going one way when we're here within the walls of this church. We have to be Christians always and let it penetrate every fiber of our being and everything it is that we do. We have to ask ourselves that question, brothers and sisters, is it? Am I the same here on Saturday nights when I come here for Mass as I am every single other day? Am I praying to God and asking him for help at every decision that I have, not just when I'm here on Sundays, but even when I'm going through my life out there in the secular world? Is what I'm doing in here affecting everything else that's out there? Because if not, then we're not really Christians. Then we become hypocrites, just like those who are here in the gospel whom Jesus is rebuking. He wants to turn that all on its head. And now, I tried so hard today not to preach on this thing because I didn't want to preach on it. But my notes failed. And so I have to go in this direction. And our Lord, when Deacon was reading it over there, brought it to my heart again. I said, I don't want to do this. But it's a message that we need. Because when you look at the coin, what did he say there? He said, show me the coin. He said, show me whose image is on that coin. Whose image was it? Caesar. Caesar, the ruler of the state, the Caesar. And because Caesar's image was stamped into that coin, that meant that that coin didn't belong to you, it belonged to him. Well, guess what, brothers and sisters? The coin of Caesar is that money on gold. The coin of God is the human soul. And in baptism, God stamps his own image upon our souls, just like we talked about last week, wearing that garment. He stamps his very image into us. In fact, that's exactly what he does in confirmation, like our young Father Jan and all of our young people are preparing to receive. Stamped in his image, marked forever. And so, yes, to be good Christians and to be good Catholics, we have to give our due to the states. But to be Catholics or Christians in the first place, we have to give our due to God, which means our very souls, which we offer unto him. What does it say in Romans chapter 12, verse 1? It says this. It says, present your bodies, these things, as a living sacrifice unto God. And this, my brothers and sisters, is your reasonable act of worship. He says, do not be you conformed to the pattern of this world, of this secular world, but be in fact transformed by the very renewal of your minds that you will know what is the good and the pleasing and the perfect will of God. That's what God has for us. He's saying, look, I stamped my very image into you. I claimed you as mine. Give unto me what is due to me, which is your every act. And what he says in return is that he's going to take care of you no matter what. Remember what Jesus says in another place in the Gospel of Matthew. He says, seek first what? The kingdom of God. And his right way of living and all these other things that you're worried about, that you're anxious about, that are giving you trouble, all these other things are going to be added to you as well. If you just seek me first. Seek my right way of doing, because I know what ultimately makes you happy. Give yourself back to me, and I'll give you the world. He says in the Psalms, he says, if you would just ask of me, I will give you the whole world. I will place the whole of the nations under your feet if you ask that for me. Because you belong to me and I care for you. And I promise to take care of you no matter what. That's the message of the gospel of Christ. And so when he holds up that coin to us and he says, render under Caesar, he says, you got to be good citizens. You got to know how it is that you are to rule yourself, to rule the world, to make sure that you are the Christian all throughout your life, not just when you're here in church, but when you're voting, when you're working in your regular life. We have to ask ourselves, how do I live out my faith? If you're a single person, that means that I live out my faith recognizing that God has given me the grace to live out his love in perfect chastity until one point where I'm either called to be a consecrated religious person, to be a priest, or to be married. If I'm a married person, it means first and foremost, above all, what do? I focus on my spouse, making sure I honor and love that person who I have promised to honor and love before God forever and uplift their dignity so that they can come to heaven as well. After that, I take care of my kids and make sure that they have not just a successful future, recognize that they're called to success to be in heaven, not just to worry about their success here in this world, in this life that we struggle and sacrifice so much for because we love our children, but they're called to be in heaven forever. Am I making preparation for that on their behalf? Bringing them to Mass, taking them to catechism, and making sure that they grow in that love and knowledge that I live out on behalf of them as well. Whatever it is, our Lord is saying that we don't have to choose between one way of living in the world and one way of living in the church, one way outside the home and one way inside the home. He says, I want to be all in all in you. That's what our Lord asks of us today, to render unto him what is due to him. And don't forget his promises. He says that if you seek me first and my right way of doing, guess what? I'm going to give you everything else that you're worried about as well. Trust in him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.